if someone was just looking for, okay, what kind of swim should I do? What kind of run should I do? They're missing like 50% of the puzzle, I think.
Welcome to the Low Tide Boys, a swim run podcast. I'm Chip.
And I'm Chris, and welcome to the show. This is our third episode. On this week's show, we're going to interview a strength and fitness coach, multi-sport coach, by the name of Michael Olzinski. He works for Purple Patch Fitness. If you're not familiar with them, they're a pretty big player in the training space in the triathlon world, and they're also training a bunch of swimrun athletes, so that's going to be really interesting. So how's our training going, Chipper?
Well, we're 6 weeks out from swimrun Catalina, the World Series distance.
Yes.
And I feel that we have turned the dial from about 3 to 8 on the swim fitness.
Yeah, definitely. And in fact, Michael Olzinski, who's on the show, he wrote for me, this was years ago, a swim build after I had a surgery.
Rather diabolical one.
All I could do was swim, so the build is pretty ridiculous. By the end of it, we'll probably be closer to, 30,000 yards in a week or something crazy.
Which for us is a lot. I mean, when we are not training for a specific event, we're not swimming usually, which is a bad thing to admit. And it's something we want to change for sure. But yeah, I mean, I've been enjoying the build. It's nice to have something specific to work on rather than getting in the pool and, oh, let's just hammer like 3K and see how it goes. Give the fans a taste of what Mike has written for us.
Yeah. Okay. So for week one, this is the optional low stress swim.
Low stress.
Okay. Right? It's a 500 warm up. No big deal. The pre-main is 1,000 straight with paddles, and every third lap you build fast. And then the main set is 3 rounds of 12x25 with fins. 2 fast, 1 easy, and then a 300 buoy smooth just to close it out.
Yeah.
Sounds nice.
That's a nice low stress swim.
Sounds nice.
And then there's what's the main set for the big daddy this week?
So our quote big swim, thanks Mike. A warm up is 800 with 400 every fourth non-free. And then the main set is 3x1500. So first one, 1500 straight with paddles, progressing by every 300 to 85%. Second is 3x500 progress, 1 to 3, strong with paddles and snorkel. And then the last is essentially 15x100, which with every 2x50 fast following each set of 5. So if you, I think even just understanding the swim set is like part of the challenge, but.
I've never been good about remembering it, so we have to print it out or write it and like put it on the deck. I think a lot of people do that, but
I'm awful. Like yeah, if I wasn't wearing my Garmin, I couldn't tell you if I swam 1,000 yards or
no.
2,000.
My mind just goes off. One additionally, is we found this great outdoor pool rather than being in this gym, which was, to be honest, a real shit show of a swim situation. So we found this outdoor pool, and they have 4 days of long course swimming, so 50 meters, which I've really been enjoying that format of swimming, and I think it's super relates super well to our goals and what we want to do.
Absolutely. I mean, for what we're trying to do, you know, the longer the course, the better. It's funny, though, like, it's always like the first 50 where you're like, oh, man, this pool is super long.
Gassed halfway through. So the swim, we're feeling good about it. We've got 3-4 days of swimming in this week, which is pretty good. I have ramped up my run training. I ran a 50-miler back in November, and Chris paced me for a good part of that. And I've kind of taken it easy in November, December, but I've ramped my run training back up to 4 or 5 runs a week, and I should be getting closer to 6. Chris and I also have a 50-mile trail race, the Lake Sonoma 50. That's in April. So we're kind of doing a little bit of speed work for one of our runs this week, and then we're going to start ramping. And we'll probably, before Catalina, we'll probably at least get one 20-miler in just to start building.
We will.
To start ramping up those kind of base miles for the big 50-miler.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one. It's also really close to where we live, so it's nice to just...
We'll be able to go on the course, which is nice. We got some good feedback about the Swim Run 101 episode. We forgot a few bits of gear.
Yes, and thank you for that. Thank you for bringing that to our attention. You know who you are. One thing we didn't talk about was socks slash kind of undergarments.
Undergarments.
Which, sorry about that. Yeah. I mean, in our experience...
What if someone showed up and they're just completely nude and like, well, I listened to this podcast. They never told me what to wear underneath.
I'm just butt naked under my thing. Yeah, I think whatever you're comfortable wearing under your wetsuit is very important, whether it's a tri top or tri suit. I wore just swim shorts, you know.
Did you wear
jammers?
Any shirt under?
Nope.
Yeah, me neither. I think I either wore swim shorts or I wore some Under Armour, like, they had no cotton, like, those athletic kind of underwear boxer brief things. And then, yeah, no shirt.
Yeah, I mean, you have to think about, you're going to be running, right? So you don't want anything that might get you
too chafy. Yeah.
It's already interesting running with a wetsuit, but it's pretty, you know, up in your jellies. So, you know, there isn't a lot of space there for friction. But, yeah, whatever you're going to be comfortable, if you're a lady, we've seen a lot of people just wear the sports bra underneath.
Actually,
we haven't seen them. They told us, you know, we're not like creeping on people.
Actually, that's an advantage because a lot of these wetsuits don't have storage for gels and stuff. And the sports bra is naturally, from what I've seen training with a lot of women, they use it to put the phone in there, like a gel or two in. I don't know where it goes inside, but, you know, it happens. So, and guys don't really have that. So actually, ARC and NU Swim Run have created this kind of mesh, looks like a base layer type top, and it has 7 pockets, a couple in the front, like on your chest. So you kind of put this thing on, super breathable because it's mesh. It's kind of like a base layer. And then you could slide a couple gels in there, a water bottle or something. That's something I do want to try to get my hands on before Catalina.
So that's pretty much it for our updates. You know, we're going to get right to the interview. You know, we recommend getting a pad and paper, listen to this a couple times because there's a lot of really good tips on training for swim run and just, you know, life in general, just being strong. So we hope you enjoy the interview. Our guest today is Michael Olzinski. He's an assistant coach for Purple Patch. He's a Bay Area guy, coaches a bunch of endurance athletes through the Purple Patch platform. Pretty stout athlete himself, and he's joining us on the show to talk about training for swim run. Welcome, Mike.
Hello, gentlemen. Thank you so much for having me. This is really cool. I'm excited.
Thanks for being here.
My pleasure. You know, you guys have always been fun people to chat with, so this is, you know, a great way to spend a Saturday.
Awesome.
Great. Well, Chris and I have been doing swim run for a couple of years, as you know, and we were talking earlier, we still don't have the training thing sorted out, so we thought it'd be useful for our audience and ourselves, selfishly, to hear some professional multi-sport advice from a certified coach.
Yeah, Ironman certified, USATF certified.
What other certifications do you have?
Precision nutrition certified. Stalking you, man.
Yeah,
I got it all.
A whole bunch. I just kept getting them at one point, and
you just keep making
I think
up
the biggest one
random
is,
letters.
I just keep making things up, and they just keep giving me pieces of paper for it. I went to grad school for exercise science, and ever since then, I just, like, you know, if something comes up, I'll do it.
Nice. Yeah. And you've been a Purple Patch coach for how long now?
Since 2012, believe it or not.
Wow,
it's a long time.
Eight years.
It's been
plus.
Quite a while. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah, eight years plus, and I was a personal trainer for a little while before that. I worked in the athletics department at Long Island University down in Brooklyn, and ever since then, that's really all I know about. I'm a one-trick pony. You know,
nice.
I just like to talk about sports.
That's cool. So before we really get into sort of swim run specific stuff, we've been asking all of our guests, we've had one so far, but I think we're going to keep it going, is, you know, how did you first hear about swim run and what was your sort of initial thoughts?
I remember it kind of jumping onto the scene because with Purple Patch, we do work with a lot of European athletes. And as you know, I mean, the Otillo race series popped up a few years back. I couldn't tell you exactly the year it started. But I do remember getting some emails from athletes overseas like, hey, have you guys heard of this? This looks really cool. Are you training anyone for it yet? And it was genuinely the first I'd seen it. I would say that's, that was 4 or 5 years ago, maybe.
Yeah, that's.
And then the
right.
first I really, yeah, I mean, the first thing I really remember seeing in the States was the one up in Maine in Costco Bay.
Yep.
And I had a really cool sense about it. I thought it was really interesting, unique. It looked fun. Great way to challenge yourself and explore nature. I just thought it was a great
that
idea.
That was exactly and, almost word for word how we would describe it.
It's just a big, big ass adventure.
Yeah.
It is a big adventure, isn't it? And it's like, and at the same time, it's really asking a lot of you, isn't it? It's asking a lot of your athletic abilities.
Yeah. And also this interesting part, you know, we, Chris and I both, and you primarily coach triathletes, but a really solo driven sport. And here you are now you're tied to somebody and you got to mm-hmm. get through it together. So there's also that kind of aspect of it, which adds another layer on top of like a pretty complex, athletic adventure.
Yeah, you got to really like that person, don't you?
Yeah.
Or not like them. I don't know. It's like...
No, that definitely happened with us. I mean, you know, Chipper and I train together all the time, and, you know, we have a pretty good uh-huh. rapport. And at one point in 2018, when we were doing Casco Bay, or now called the Cold Classic, you know, it just kind of got real, you know, where it's like, all right, we still got a bunch of work to do. It's like, enough with the chit chat. Let's go. You know, we'll be talking about that a lot on the show, I think, because partner selection is just so important to having a really positive experience. You know,
I would agree. It's, I mean, that's a huge part of the sport is just not only having the right person with you, but I'd imagine you have to spend quite a lot of time training together.
Yeah.
You know, because you got to understand each other's paces and, mm-hmm. and how you swim and how you run together. I mean, I think that's a huge component for the sport, which is great because, hey, it's a little bought in motivation or a little bought in accountability.
Totally. Yeah, exactly.
Like Chipper can't sleep in through all your swims, right?
Nope. I did that yesterday.
Yeah, but we have a
one cop out a week.
Oh, okay, that's a good plan.
And like,
gotta
you
be
know,
flexible.
Since we're both dads, right? It's like sick kid.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. the sick kid excuse works.
So let's dive into something more dialed in mm-hmm. with your expertise there. So this is going to be kind of specific towards the Otolo Catalina race that we're doing in about 8 weeks at the end of February. So there's 7 swim sections. And the longest swim is 1,600 meters, and then there would be 8 runs, and the longest run is about 10K, and it has almost 4,000 feet of vertical gain. So how, from a coaching perspective, how would you kind of design a plan, or how would you recommend kind of training for something that's kind of broken out, that's a little bit burstier, short, kind of cross-country-esque on the run, with some trail running mm-hmm. and then some longer steady state 1600, 1200, 1500 meter swims.
Got it. I know this is really interesting and it is such a new field. And I really see a lot happening with the swim run racing in the world and in the country. So at this point, I'll be dead honest. And I'm sure a couple people, including our coaches, Hurley and John Stevens, have some things dialed out. But I really love the fact that everything we're doing right now in training for swim run is a bit of an ongoing experiment, isn't it? It's a bit of an ongoing experiment to see what works and how it adapts to different courses. But funny enough, it actually makes me think a lot about these really cool triathlons that they do now called Super League Triathlon. Have you guys seen or heard of those? Yeah, it's kind of a similar concept.
It's like rally
it's like
style.
You're exactly. You're doing like a 400 swim, a 5 mile bike, like a 2 mile run, and doing like 3 rounds of it. So you're swim, bike, run, swim, bike, run, swim, bike, run. You're in and out of the pool. You're diving back in. You're jumping on the bike. You're running a hard 2 miles. And I think the overarching idea of this sport is the multi-sport athlete. And I really want to highlight the word athlete. You truly have to be a master of all your efforts, a master of your body. You have to be strong. you have to be able to handle a lot of things being thrown at you, because you got to climb a hill coming out of the water where you're horizontal and go straight up like a probably a massive climb on a trail, and then bomb and descend down and then jump back in the water. I mean, as much as this is a swimming and running sport, in a training plan that I would build for a swim runner, obviously those are your bullseye workouts, swimming and running. Mm-hmm. But man, I would be using so much cross training for these athletes, because you need to be able to handle the impacts on your legs and your shoulders and diving and climbing out of water. It's really all encompassing. So if someone was just looking for, okay, what kind of swim should I do? What kind of run should I do?
Yeah.
They're missing like 50% of the puzzle, I think. I would say strength training or body weight workouts are a massive element in training for swim run, especially if it's a bit newer for you, you know? So if I was to look at a really solid week, I'm a fan of threes. I like threes of everything. I don't know if it's poetic or something, but a really good week to me. Yeah. Always like gotta be three wishes, but like three swims, three runs, three strengths. Like okay. That's a great week to me, you know? And I would definitely try to combine things as often as I can. So maybe a little strength work and then finishing with a run, a little swimming, finishing with a run, anything like that, you know, running before you even go for a swim. In triathlon, we're taught to really often just swim first. Everything we do, swim first thing in the morning, swim and then go for your bike ride, swim and then go for your run. But I do think you should flip it upside down every now and then when you're training for a swim run, because you got to go do a 10K and then jump right back in the water. So if you're so fatigued from these 10K runs and then you lose your body position in swimming, you're kind of SOL. And I just said a lot there.
I mean, I thought all that was extremely helpful. There's also, so we're doing the World Series distance. A total amount of running is about
18 miles.
18 miles with 7,600 meters, so 4 to 5 miles of swimming. So how are you kind of thinking, like, you almost need some quicker pace fartlek style runs, but 19 miles in a day, like, you need to have some good volume on your legs for that. How are you thinking a little bit about that?
Well, think, how long would you say is like a average time? Like, what's a time that you guys would be happy with overall for the whole day?
I don't know. This probably is going to be 6 hours or so.
Yeah, I think if we're coming in under 6 hours, that's a good day for us. The other thing about these races is that, you know, the course maps are
suggestions.
aspirational, if you will. So, you know, if you swim dead straight, like maybe then it's like, you know, 1600 meters, you know. So there's some fudge in there in terms of the distance. But yeah, we're thinking if we can run well, could probably cover the 18 miles and, you know, 2 hours and 45, three hours. And then, depending what currents are happening in the water, like how
tides and
all that
jazz.
Stuff, you know, that could have an
absolutely.
Impact.
So what you got here is an aerobic event, right? Because it is a 6 hour event, 5 hours,
endurance,
anything at that. It is aerobic. I mean, you got to have a really strong aerobic system where your heart rate can come up and then it can recover and you can keep yourself. But what you have is a good long aerobic event. But the interesting thing about this aerobic event is you're just going to have so many spikes and drops in your effort levels.
Yeah.
And I say effort first, heart rate would obviously be the expression of that effort, you know? So you got to do things in your training, whether it's running or swimming, or, you know, even if you use your bike and cross training, where you might go for some longer effort, some longer days, longer sessions, but everything you do should probably have some element of, like you said, like the fartlek component, a little bit of effort and then a little active recovery, a bit of effort, bit of recovery. And maybe if you're doing shorter days, that effort or intensity would be much higher and a little bit longer rest periods, a little longer active recovery. So for example, if we're talking a swim, you know, maybe you're doing 100 meter repeats at a high output with like some 50 swimming for recovery. So I, for this kind of event, I probably wouldn't have you do a lot of recovery at the wall. You might as well be just swimming easy and active recovery.
Yeah, you need the meters.
Exactly. Get the heart rate up and learn how to swim with a low heart rate, or learn how to swim at an easy and controlled effort. Same with the running. Same with the running component.
Totally. And
I'll tell you this. One thing that jumps to my mind right away, as this will be a little more of a specific thing, but when we train open water athletes for triathlon, one thing we do, as you guys know both very well, because I've coached you both in swimming at some point, is the ever-present deck up.
Yes.
And in swim run, I think if you're not doing deck ups every week at some level, you're probably missing something.
I'm going to make a note that we're going to start doing deck-ups.
Again, I will say, now I'm cheating a little bit. I was a purple patch athlete for a couple of years, and
yep.
Mike and I have worked for a while together. But we were doing, we would do like 10 hundreds, and after every 100, we do a deck-up and then jump back in and go.
And
you know, the swimmers love their toys, pool buoy, and you do the event with paddles, with your shoes on, with your pool buoy.
Yep.
So what kind of like toys are you using the pool? You know, I know Purple Patch is generally a fan of like the snorkel and the ankle strap. Tell me a little bit about some, if you're doing the race with your paddles and buoys, should 90% of your training be with your paddles and buoys, or where do you kind of see that fitting in?
I definitely think it should be, but I don't think 90%. I think less than that should be pulling sets, as we would call them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like snorkel, buoy, ankle strap is a great set to use. So you're just really working on relaxed stroke, good body position. I wouldn't say 90, because we still want to have a good training effect, you know. And if we're just doing everything with a buoy, then your yardage is going to be down and you won't get as good of a workout in. But I would say maybe more of the key sets that you do, you could do with paddles and a buoy and an ankle strap, by the way, because that's kind of simulating the shoes, isn't it? Just lock down the legs.
I started throwing the ankle strap, as much as I hate that thing. I've been using it the past couple workouts, and I found it really does give my shoulders more endurance. And it is like you're dragging, you know, they're going to have to retile the pool again, but as much as your feet are dragging, you know, it does help maintain that good body posture.
Without a doubt. I think that's your best friend, really, is the pull buoy and an ankle strap. Very good friends of yours. But what's nice about that is what I would be trying to do in a lot of your swims is take off the gear, take off the toys, and swim at a high intensity. You know, push yourself hard for some 50s, for some 100s, 200s, whatever you might do, and then do some longer pulling sets after that, right? So you're kind of simulating that big spike in effort. So go do a couple hundreds at 95% effort, really, really strong, really hard.
Blow the doors
off. And then throw on snorkel, buoy, band, and do 400 swim, you know, at a little more controlled effort. So you're getting like that, maybe that's like your second swim, your third swim, your fourth time getting in the water.
Mm-hmm.
Your body is just going to be so much more fatigued. Your nerves are going to be shot. So as many ways as you can do to simulate that feeling and then find a smooth rhythm, that's a great way to do it.
Nice. And so, I mean, I guess we're getting kind of specific here with the swim stuff, but where do you see the long, so again, as a reminder, the longest swim is 1600 meters. Where do you see some of your really long, big days in the pool? I mean, are you want to make sure you're getting in a total of, you know, almost 8,000 meters? Are you trying to get a couple 7, 8, 9, 10K days in the pool, or are you fine with 3 to 5K?
I would be, it depends on the swimmer, right? I think it would really depend on the athlete and their swimming background and how much they can handle, what their job allows them to do, what their family allows them to do time-wise and stress-wise. So that's always a tough one to answer, but I can give you an answer for that.
Perfect.
You're swimming a lot over the course of that day. you're swimming a lot over the course of that day. And the nice thing about swimming is it's, you know, it's a stressful thing in your mind, but it's a little stress-free physically. So you can do a lot of swimming. You can do a lot of swimming. You can gain fitness. You can gain cardiopulmonary adaptation from that. So I would certainly encourage athletes to swim more than they might generally be comfortable with.
Okay.
So nice. If that athlete, maybe that athlete swims 2,000 a day every workout, okay, of course, I would ask them to probably up that a bit to 3 or 4 on the bigger, more key days. If an athlete's like, cool, swimming 3,500 or 4K a day, then yeah, they should go out and get 6 or 7K swims in for sure. I wouldn't want them to just say, okay, I'm going to spend a day at the pool and just swim yards and just do an hour without stopping. That's unnecessary. I think that's a little too aerobic. It's not really what the sport's about. But I might say, hey, spend 2 hours at the pool. You're going to do some deck ups. You're going to do some dry land. You might do some pulling drills with elastic. You might even get creative with it. And instead of doing deck ups, you can do a deck up and do a little lap around the pool. If the lifeguards let you, you know,
no running,
but like, no running, stop running. You got to just come and I know, find when the pools are off hours and, yeah, just hop like, the fence. And,
Coach Mike told
but
me,
but like, I know at our pool, what's that?
Coach Mike told me I should run around the pool. So yeah, you have to let me lifeguard.
You know, don't quote me on that. Don't tell all the lifeguards, but,
we'll cut that out of the podcast.
If you got the ability or, hey, you know, if you, maybe you should turn one of those into open water sessions, and maybe that's another ball, you know, that's another can of worms. But if you're doing open water sessions, you might want to have a little like loop swim where you go do a loop and then come out, run half a mile, do a loop, come out, run half a mile, and do sessions like that. So you might spend 2 hours swimming, but you're not just swimming straight aerobically for 2 hours.
So let me ask you, Mike. So I know that the Purple Patch model is you have, you know, a certain amount of workouts, and so, you know, there's some that are tagged as sort of your key workouts. Like those are the ones you want to hit.
Mm-hmm.
And then if time allows and you feel good, then you do like the optional bonus ones, right? So
yeah.
In terms of open water swimming for something like this, you know, what would a key workout look like? Obviously, it would look something like you're, like you just said, swimming a lap in aquatic park or wherever, and then running for a bit. Like, how would you sort of design that? Would it just be like, oh yeah, swim 3 times, run 3 times, or is a little bit more involved in that?
Yeah, here's a great one. Very easy to execute. Anyone can do it. Fartlek swimming.
Oh,
easy to do. How do we do fartlek swimming? What's that?
Yeah,
stroke,
what is
counting,
that?
Right?
Like, how do we do this?
What, stroke counting? That's my
how do
favorite
we do fartlek
topic.
Swimming? Who knows? It's amazing. Here's a great session. 30 strokes easy, 30 strokes fast, 30 strokes easy, 25 fast, 30 easy, 20 fast, and then kind of knock it down in like a descending formation.
Nice.
So you're sprinting for 30 strokes, and you can count them. 1, 2, 3, blah, blah, blah.
And you're really
and
jacking
then you
that
do
heart
30
rate
easy.
Up, recover,
you're really
jack
jacking
the heart
it up.
Rate.
Exactly.
Recover. Nice.
Yep,
and
exactly.
Then,
and you got to keep swimming.
That seems perfect for open water because you can just go.
What's your recommendation on siding? Obviously, that's very important with open water swimming, you know,
mm-hmm.
for a mile or what would roughly be like a half Ironman distance swim. How often would you recommend siding?
You're siding more than you're not siding.
Oh.
How's that?
Okay.
You should be siding a lot. Because what I like to call it is like micro siding, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's important to realize that you don't need to like stand up and lift your entire head out of the water to get a sense where you're going. Your eyes are very good. They're very nice cameras. They're in fact really great cameras. And all they need is a little like half a second of input.
That sounds like a line that you use with the ladies, like, oh, you got really nice cameras.
Camera one, camera two.
You got great cameras on your face. You got nice face cameras there. Nice job.
So,
I
sighting.
Like, you got nice blue lenses on your
very
face
often.
Camera. But very often, you know, I think if you're comfortable, first of all, you have to practice it. So you got to practice it in the pool and you got to practice it in open water. But in general, I mean, you watch some of these great Ironman swimmers who are swimming 4K and in 45, 50 minutes. They're sighting every 3 strokes some even more.
Wow.
No one is just putting their head down and swimming for 6 or 7 strokes without seeing where they're going. The only exception would be if there is a group and they're just pacing off the group. But you got one person in this race, but you don't know if that person's swimming the right way.
Yeah, right.
So you might just want to be sighting every 2 to 3 strokes. And it's a little micro sighting. It's just getting your eyes above the surface of the water, making sure you got the right direction, and you do it frequently. So if you sight frequently, it's not a huge spike in effort every time you do it. Mm-hmm. So you stay a little more rhythmic. When you don't sight enough, you get these like panic sights that I call them.
Yeah.
And they lift their whole head out of the water and they crash back into the water.
I like
you lose momentum
the
and you increase effort. You know, it's not what we want to do.
It's so like it the sea lion where you
far
gotta,
more
like,
beneficial
totally
to sight
your body
a ton.
Composition. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Do you guys agree? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, nothing would be worse than turning, you know, 7,500 meters of swimming into 8,500 just because you're sighting too infrequently and you need a course correct so much, you know?
Yeah, I mean, you definitely see that in triathlon. I mean, I remember doing Escape from Alcatraz.
It's so true.
Some dude was,
you know, open water racing is sighting. Open water racing is sighting racing, you know? It's,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. It really, really is. The better sighters are going to swim faster at lower effort. So, and even if you're not sighting enough, one other factor is you're going to have to course correct a lot. And when you have to course correct, you're swimming extra yardage and it's a little more stressful to get back on course. So you're
totally
swimming more and you're swimming at a spikier, less even pace, which is no bueno.
Yeah. Nice. Well, I mean, you've given some really awesome running and swimming tips and swim run tips. Is there any other training and maybe touch a little bit on some of the cross training and the weight training or body weight training that you would do, or, you know, give like a little sample 20
sure.
minute workout that you would do? That I think that'd be great.
Absolutely.
We'll
I mean, I would definitely build in stuff with running. So I think you guys made a great point. It is very similar to like kind of a cross country race, but it's a cross country race that you got to repeat 8 times. So that's really tough. And it takes a lot of physical strength to maintain your posture for 5 or 6 hours, where you're going from vertical to horizontal to vertical to horizontal. So I would definitely do a whole lot of postural strength work just to make sure that your back, your glutes, your hips are just really happy with keeping you upright and keeping you in good position in the water.
So like planks and shit?
Yeah. Let's convert that to layman terms.
Absolutely.
Your quads and your hammies,
you know,
planks, core.
Yep. Okay. Here's the number one thing that every athlete should do in all sports everywhere is deadlifts. If you're not doing deadlifts, you're wrong. And you can, that's a sound bite right there. If you're not doing deadlifts, you're wrong. Deadlifts are great because they'll get the posterior fight up. You're putting load on your body to stand up straight. So it's the greatest exercise you can do. I would definitely have a day where you focus on deadlifts. I would have a day where you're focused on doing some kind of squat, front squat, or maybe overhead squat or something like that, where you're just getting full flexion in ankles, knees, and hips.
What if someone doesn't have access to a gym? Is there something?
And then one day I would do it
20 minutes before work that they can do in the morning. Body weight stuff.
Totally. Absolutely. I mean, if you got a kettlebell would be a great thing to have at home. You know, have a little range of kettlebells that you can work with, and you can use those for deadlifts and hold them on your shoulder to do squats or something like that.
Yeah.
But for body weight, what I would actually pair some body weight exercises with running. So maybe set up a little circuit where you do 3 body weight exercises and a 400-meter run or a 3-minute run or something like that. Hmm. It's cliche, but I think it's relevant for swim run is doing burpees.
I
gotta say,
burpees.
I think that's a great exercise. It's a hip hinge. It's taking you from horizontal to vertical. I would do a whole bunch of burpees. I would do some lunges, you know, because you're going to have to climb and descend. You need some strength. You need some balance and control in the hips. So a set of burpees, lunges, And I mean, come on, who doesn't want to do push-ups? You might as well do push-ups. If you have an elastic band, you can do some rowing, you know, like just regular wide grip rowing or like a lat pull down type of exercise, because that's something that's going to keep you posturally nice and strong. And because you're going to have to swim a lot, right? And swimming is moving your shoulders forward. So doing something where you're moving your shoulders back, like you will need to do when you run, is rather important. So you want to have some kind of rowing built in there. And I might have a workout. I think a great workout would be, okay, it's almost a little CrossFit-y. It's almost a little CrossFit-y. Like 10 burpees, 10 lunges, 10 wide grip rows with a band, go run 400 meters and do that 5 or 6 times, you know?
Yeah.
Doesn't take you all that long. You can do that in a half hour.
Yeah, that sounds really good.
Nice.
So, you know.
But I think little things like that are important. You don't maybe think they're a key workout. It's not a huge day. But just getting your body really comfortable with changing what it's doing. You know, because the whole thing behind swim run is you get comfortable for about, what, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Then you got to change it.
Yep, right.
So as often as you are able to simulate that in your training, do something, get comfortable for a little bit, and then change it. And get comfortable, and then go back. You know, it's a very, very fun way to exercise, in my opinion. I think that's what I love about swim run so much, is that it forces you to be a holistic athlete. It forces you to really train from the top of your head to the bottom of your foot. And I think that's wonderful.
Awesome. Well,
that's great.
You've been spitting some magic, Mike. We really appreciate it. A lot of good nuggets in here for everyone. If people want to find out more about you or what you've been up to, where should they go?
They should come hang out in Fairfax, up in in Marin County, California. You can usually find me at a coffee shop there, or like today at Imagination Park in San Anselmo, next to Harrison Ford as Indiana Jones.
Nice.
But I mean, I use Instagram pretty frequently, I guess, Mikey.Oles12. And, you know, I work with Purple Patch Fitness. We're building a new facility in downtown San Francisco. That's going to be open up pretty soon.
Nice.
So I'll be there day upon day. It's going to be great. You got
a little office.
Talk about
there.
Like a great place to train for a swim. I'll have an office there. Great place to train for a swim run, because we'll have a little treadmill studio upstairs with weight training. So we'll do little circuits. We'll do a little treadmill work, little weight training, TRX, kettlebells, that kind of thing. So that'll be cool. And then also, like, I coach a new team that I've started with some colleagues of mine, some friends of mine. It's called the Nth Degree Athletic Club. And I'm rather excited about this team. It's been doing really well. We just finished our first year officially.
Congrats.
And thank you. It's been awesome. We actually have some people training for swim run in the Nth Degree, believe it or not.
Oh, nice.
And yeah, it's true for Catalina, in fact. So you guys have run into them.
Dude, everybody's
you guys have run
Catalina,
into them. You
man.
Got some competition. Catalina's going to be great.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Trust me, there's no one competing against us.
We're our biggest competitors.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, I love what you guys are doing. This is the first official swim run podcast in the world.
In the world.
In the universe, actually.
You guys are,
yeah, in the known universe. We can't speak for the unknown.
Well, you can't say you don't know.
Yeah.
There could be a dimension or universe somewhere that they've been doing swim run for 30 years. You just don't know.
Yeah. You really don't know. Well, Mike,
but
I
love
think
what
with
you guys,
that.
You guys have great personalities.
That's a good place to end right there.
That's probably a good place to end on the metaphysical plane.
Yeah.
Mike, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show. Really appreciate sharing your knowledge with us. And see you out there.
Thank you. And thank you guys for putting great energy into the sports. I'm so excited for it.
Totally.
All
thanks,
right, man. Take care.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening to the Low Tide Boys, a swim run podcast. Make sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a review if you're so inclined.
You can also sign up for a newsletter at lowtideboys.com. That's boys with a Z. Check out our meme page at The Low Tide Boys on Instagram. And if you have any questions or suggestions, send us an email to lowtideboys@gmail.com.
Yes, we'd like to thank Writing Easy Records for our intro and outro music, and of course our wives for their ever-loving support, tolerance of our hobbies, podcast, and endurance activities.
Finally, you can support our efforts on Patreon. And until next time, get out there and go for a swim.
And then go for a run.
And another swim, most likely.
Probably another run for sure.
Yep.
And we'll more swimming. Just keep going.
Don't stop.
Don't stop. Don't stop, won't stop.